Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Talk so much about what's going, go on before the game. What about during the game? That's the question we're going to get to. KJM is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Morning, Key. Morning, Jay.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Stop.
Why are you always harassing him?
No, he's bothering me about my ankles this morning.
No, I was telling him his ankles
they're a little ashy.
But usually at the end of the show, you're attacking him with some rolled up papers or something.
He's very aggressive.
But why do you have to use the word attack when you refer to me?
Because that's the description of what you were doing.
That's what you did to me.
You get out of your chair, you roll up papers, and you start swatting him at the end of every show.
How would you describe it?
I would describe it defending myself.
I'm sitting here, not even.
Because the screen is not on you when you do something to me, and then all of a sudden they pan when I come at you.
See what he tries to do?
My eyes are on him, though. Yes, he's just sitting there
the whole
minding
time.
His business. He's just minding his
business. Leave my ankles
all
alone.
He's trying
my
to do is
do
lotion his ankles.
Hand me your chapstick so I can put it in my ankles.
All Jay wants to do is lotion his ankles in peace.
No, because he tried to clown me one time. When I had a little, you know how you scratch and you get a little.
Oh,
well,
I know.
You don't get it, but
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I actually do, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
And he tried to clown me and talk about my ankles being, but I just happened to look
down. You think
down,
I don't get dry
and
skin?
And I realized he didn't have on white socks, but his ankles was white. So I was
you thought he had on socks?
White. Come on, man.
Well, Jay, Achilles, to tell you the truth, the right one.
Yes, when
the
he right get around one? The Achilles. And
yeah,
the, and
I was about to say, when you get around the corner there.
Deep in the shoe.
Yeah, yeah. In the lines, you get the
looks like you got some baby powder on there.
Yeah, oh yeah. I can write a K on the ankle. Yeah,
that's right. Why he's putting lotion. You can't help it if your skin gets dry. That's why you put lotion on it.
No, I mean sometimes
he has not put lotion.
Yeah,
on it. And we've been here for 2 hours now. Oh no, man, come on.
What?
Come on, that's we don't want that.
Hey, let's
it's
not
too
act,
early.
Let's not act like y'all haven't done it before.
It's too early.
You're walking, I don't know.
You don't have any lotion. You have no lubricant. Like. I don't I'm about know. To
just makes it drier,
myself.
Jay.
I'm not going to embarrass myself. Let me get experience. A quick look.
No, growing up, I didn't do that. But growing up, my mom, growing up poor, man, this is a different story. My mom would get the cooking oil.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Not. Hey, man, not.
You inflammable?
Stop.
Inflammable walking around
but,
like Crisco.
Hey, Yates, growing up and you grow up a certain way and you got to survive how you survive. But she would get the Crisco, not the one that's on the stove in the back that's melted steel with all the bacon grease and all that.
Well,
but the
that's
actual
good cooking oil though, that's
the good stuff. Yeah. She would get the normal Crisco thing and put it on me, and I go off to school, face just shining, smelling like fried chicken or something. I'm not lying, it's the truth. And you know, Jay, how it is. Yeah, y'all know.
Walk around smelling like the calf, cuz.
Yeah, whole face just shining.
What your mama do to your face?
Because she put it on you.
I know.
You don't know no better. You're 6 or 7 years old. You know, you thinking, okay, this is my mother. She knows what she's doing. Now that you're older or get older, when you start to get in junior high and high school and stuff, you're like, no, we ain't doing that. I just go ask high school. You.
I would say your rap name is Little Crisco.
Yeah. Why are you not entertained?
That's the life of the party.
That's
I wonder
how,
what
that's
the
how it rolls, Max.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, man.
Who would have known that my ankle would have led to
like chicken,
Little
huh?
Crisco performing today?
Little Crisco.
Well, it's
to quote the great Sean Carter.
Oh, geez.
There is no segue from that, so I'll just tell
you. Yeah,
just
let me help you get there.
It's an on-field chess match.
Will it be slippery?
No.
Like grease up in New England.
That makes it worse. You could say Belichick trying to talk slick, but it all makes it worse.
That's a good segue.
Two Super Bowl champion head coaches, like they'll never be able to take that away from Bruce Arians. He's one of those guys now.
Yes.
And Bill Belichick, when asked about the offense the Bucs are running with Tom Brady, said this.
It's the offense he's run his whole career. Well, I mean, it hasn't evolved here, but, the running game is the running game. The running game is different, but the passing game is the passing game. It's pretty similar. I mean, you could call almost every play from the flare control to the protection to, similar to the way we do it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love
it's the
it.
Same offense. It is. Gronk, you look at a few highlights, Tampa Bay touchdown last week. The week before, Gronkowski, bam, he slams down, delays a minute, pops out, Brady, touchdown. We can go back and look at New England's offense from years, and that same play in the red zone was there.
Same play.
Now, but that now, same, were the Bucs doing plays, it early? Hold on, Key. Were the Bucs doing that early last year, or was that something Brady had to phase in?
He came and they started doing it. He came and they started doing it. But everybody does the same thing. Everybody runs sluggo seam. Everybody runs all go. Everybody runs tosses. Everybody runs fly sweeps.
If everyone runs the same thing,
you ain't got the same personnel.
but why are some guys like Sean McVay able to get seemingly different results if everyone's running the same thing?
Okay, so I'll go at it away from sports and go into your business. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks the same. Mm-hmm. Right, they got the same highlights around and different stations and stuff, but why is our show better than everybody else's?
Because I'm on it.
Oh, jeez.
Again, one more. Can I hear the horn again?
Oh, jeez.
Because this was not about you, Max. It was about the shows.
Oh, you asked me a question. I just trying to answer.
And because we got good personnel, we got good producers. We don't do the same thing. We call things different in way we do our rundowns. We're not copycatting off of anybody else. We are leaders of the industry because we are at the top of the morning. Everybody follows us. That is why Sean McVay is better at doing it, because he is at the leading forefront of designing plays and doing it first, opposed to doing it
fifth. In other words,
okay,
I understand what you're saying. You're talking about everyone does the same thing, but there's an original, and then there's what's derivative from the original.
Absolutely, 100%. That's why Bill Walsh was better than everybody.
And the originals are the ones who have the success, you're saying.
Absolutely.
Let me jump in for 1 second. It is the same offense, but why does Bill Belichick need to say that? That's what felt like a shot. Like that. That's like the... Because that's Bill's personality. I get it. He's consistent with who he is. But those are the little jabs that make you feel like this is a big thing. Because that's not typical how Bill talks, right?
Of course it's a big thing.
It can be the same offense. But him saying, yeah, it's 100% the same thing.
Think about
100. He said 100%.
Think about your, what was it, your sophomore? What did you play four at Duke, right?
Three.
So think about your sophomore year when they brought in the other guard after your freshman year, and you would have transferred to another school and then went to see Coach K again. Coach K would have been like, yeah, that little dude, we going to do this to him. You would have been like, yeah, I'm going to take care of Coach. It would have been personal. And so, yes, it's personal for both of them, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But on the flip side of things, what Bill Belichick is saying to us, the media, is Tom Brady is doing the same things we did with him. He's not doing anything different, except he has a different personnel. So I made that.
I'm the one who made that.
So give me my credit, too.
If the basic argument is who's the originator and who's derivative from the original, who's the copy, that determines success. That explains Belichick's comment versus this response from Bruce Arians.
Well, I think they copied a lot of ours, so it's probably the same. Ask them which film they watch every week. They'll know. They always picked ours up and watched it, so it's the same stuff.
So who's right, Key? Who's the originator?
Man, the truth is the truth, though. Everybody watches everybody's stuff. When I was in Tampa Bay, everybody tried to copy Tampa 2. Mm-hmm. They tried it. It didn't work because we had Derrick Brooks. We had Johnny Lynch and Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice and Greg Spires and Boogie McFarland.
Wait, now you're
nobody
saying,
can do that.
Hold on. Let's,
and we had the main guy behind it, which was Tony Dungy.
So let's slow up for a second. On the one hand, there's who is originating, right?
Yes.
And on the other hand, are you saying that if you – because even originators of ideas take good ideas from other originators, right?
Yes. And expand on it.
But you have to have the personnel. So the original, or if you're going to be derivative, you better have the personnel to run it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and guess what New England didn't have last year?
The personnel.
They didn't have the personnel. They were still trying to run some of the same stuff, but then that wasn't working.
So you agree with both coaches that they each took stuff from each other?
100%. Anybody that's coaching football or play football that will sit there and tell you that they're not stealing from each other is a damn lie.
Is lying.
Man, it's lying. Sluggo seam is slug. Everybody runs it. Everybody runs certain things. They all run draws, paint, nickel. They call it something different.
That goes back to my point, though, Key. Like, if you won 6 Super Bowls, obviously there's something that's underneath Bill Belichick about proving to people that, yeah, they're running the same thing we ran. like to try to give himself credit for saying I made Tom Brady. Like
that's fine.
But
like,
why do you even need to say that?
Because that's just what they.
That's the case though. If you're telling me everybody, that's like saying I ran a high volume pick and roll when I was in college. When I got to the NBA, we ran no pick and roll, right? Any smart coach would say this guy was successful at running pick and PNRs. We're going to put in high volume PNRs because that's what he was successful at doing. It makes sense. But for somebody to say that publicly is letting you know how they feel about that player and that coach.
You got to think about when Tom Brady was a free agent and he was seeking to find another team. He went to a team that did something similar to what he was doing in New England. So his learning curve would be at a minimum.
Of course.
He didn't have to learn a lot.
Of course.
Because Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich did the same things in Arizona. Bruce did principles in Pittsburgh. They probably did some of the same stuff in Indy to a degree. Everybody kind of does the same things. They call it at times differently. Maybe they use certain things on second and third down that New England uses on first and second down. But it's the same stuff. You're just calling it different. That's all.
So it's a chess game. It's a mental chess game.
It's a chess game.
I'm saying, Keyshawn, I see what you do.
Jay, Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. We get more on this game in South Bend with the coach of the 8th-ranked Cincinnati Bearcats as they head to South Bend. Good morning, Coach Luke Fickell.
How we doing, guys?
What's up, Luke?
What's up, Coach?
I see someone's got a little energy over there. That's good.
The former football player,
I should say. Fired
up, ready to go. I couldn't wait to talk. He actually recruited my nephew to Ohio State.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, Luke.
I was wondering if you were going to be able to bring that up. Yeah, I remember you being at practice a bit, too. So
yeah, of course.
He's doing well, obviously.
Yeah, I had to make sure y'all did the right thing by him, you know, coming all the way from the West Coast. All the way back to the Midwest, East Coast, I had to make sure Coach Fickell and them took care of
him. He just talking about how the West Coast has to recruit the West Coast players, the whole thing, your own family heading east.
Well,
and you're supporting it and the whole thing.
That's because Coach Fickell knew what to do. He got the job done, much like he's getting the job done in Cincinnati. Speaking of that, Coach, what has it been like for you this week getting prepared to take on the Irish? I mean, it's a big game for you. A lot is on the line. What's it been like?
Well, it's kind of crazy just because the community here of Cincinnati has been probably a really big Notre Dame following group. And so outside of just our walls, I think you're hearing a lot. Everybody's traveling, talking about traveling to the game and things. And I kind of want to ask them, okay, you're traveling to the game, but what exact colors will you be wearing? But there's a lot of interest in it. Obviously, it's been like that for a couple of years, and it just happens to be obviously a year that both of us are ranked in the top 10. So I think it's a great buzz, not just for our program, but for the entire community and city.
Coach, what would a win not only mean for this team, but also for Group of Five's chances to finally get a team in the college football playoffs?
Well, really, a win would mean we would be 4-0. You know, for us, we try not to look at it that much different. I think one of the unique things with the program is we've never, since the day we got here, we kind of eliminate that different groups in league, kind of the P5 type of thing. We kind of eliminated that from our entire verbiage and from our vocabulary because we wanted to say, well, there's nothing different. Now, we all understand there's some differences, and not just with the league, but in revenues and things like that. But if we allow our kids to understand it's something different, then they'll be looked at, you know, they'll look at themselves as different. And sometimes is to have an excuse and a crutch if things don't go well. So we know it's huge. We know it's huge, not just for our program, but obviously for this team that's come a long way. And, you know, a lot of these guys like a Desmond Ridder who've been through a lot of stuff from year one where we could barely win one or two games to, you know, where he's taken us and given us the opportunity to be now.
Coach, what would a win mean for, you know, the Group of Five's chances to finally get a team in the college football playoffs?
Well, it's a long season. And I know everybody likes to talk about those things. But the reality is, no matter what, call us a Group of Five team. Call anybody that I'd say is not a top 10, top 5 program over history needs to have signature wins in order to get in. And I'm not going to pinpoint other people, but as we look at the playoffs in general, it's been basically 5 or 6 teams and then a wild card every year. And whether it's us at Cincinnati or UCF a few years ago, and some people in the Big Ten, some people in the SEC, some people in the Pac-12. I mean, if they're going to get in, there has to be signature wins. Somebody in the SEC is going to have to beat Alabama or Georgia if they want to get in. Someone in the ACC is legitimately not just going to have to be undefeated, but they're going to have to beat Clemson in order to get in. And, you know, for us this year happens to be that, you know, Notre Dame's on the schedule. It's kind of matches up really well. And if there's any chance in the future, you got to have those signature wins. And that's what this would be for us.
Mm-hmm. Coach, your bones were made on the defensive side of the ball, obviously ex-linebacker and all. And your defense has been pretty outstanding this year, while Notre Dame's offense has struggled to some degree, right? How does your team get them off the field to avoid, you know, big long stretches and drives of that nature?
That's going to be the key. You know, the way they have played, I mean, they've got big play capability, but I think still what Coach Kelly has done there in the last few years, when you really hear him talk about not playing some of those big games, is limiting sometimes the possessions on the other side of the ball, controlling the ball. They've done a really good job over the last 3 or 4 years of doing that. And I think that's where, going into the game, we've got to do a really good job on defense, and not just, you know, eliminating points and eliminating big plays, but eliminating those long drives so that we can make sure we can get the opportunities back for our offense to try to create some of that momentum, because we're a team that feeds off of one another. We're not solely an offensive-based team or a defensive-based team. We're one that, you know, we really got to play that complementary football. And defensively, what that means is you got to get guys off the field and not allow those 10, 12, 14 play drives.
On the offensive side of the ball, you know, obviously Notre Dame Stadium can get loud at times when they get the rocking and rolling. And Desmond Ridder was saying that your OC in Mike Denbrock, who actually coached at Notre Dame, kind of has an understanding of what that stadium can be about, just basically said that, you know, it shouldn't be loud for too long. So he's kind of giving some warning signs. What are you doing in terms of preparation for that?
Well, you haven't been to our practice yet. I know you came to a few practices there in Columbus, but in general, everything that we do is loud. You know, whether it's our weight room, whether it's practice, whether for home games or away games, by nature, we've done a lot of that stuff. So yeah, again, you use the crowd noise things, you use the music. The reality is, I don't think you can allow, we probably overdid it going into the Indiana game 2 weeks ago, and it really kind of slowed us down offensively. And so in some ways, you've got your silent counts, you've got your signals and things like that. But we don't want to get too much out of our game. If we have to adapt and adjust in the midst of a game, we will, whether it's with the silent cadence, whether it's with tapping the center before they're going to snap the football. If it means we have to huddle a little bit, we will, but we really want to kind of make sure that we can get ourselves in a rhythm. We expect it to be loud. We want it to be loud. I guess that's the environment we love to play in. But I don't think we can allow it, you know, in our preparation, to take us out of what we need to do.
So, Coach Fickell, man, you know, I'm here, and I know I don't want to be a distraction, nor do I want this conversation to be a distraction for your team. But how have you handled your name floating around a potential vacancy out west, where there's a pretty beach and a lot of sand and gorgeous trees and all of the popular things that people like in the world? And that would be a possible opening at USC, and your name's floating around as one of the candidates. How have you handled that with your team this week going into the Notre Dame game?
Well, the good thing is we've been very fortunate in the last 3 years, because of what we put on the field and the players that we've got, it's given us an opportunity, whether it's me or a lot of our other coaches, to have, you know, opportunities after the season, you know, for other jobs and things like that. And we've kind of embraced it as a program. We've had, actually this year, we've had a few guys that were, you know, approached about leaving early. You know, 2 years ago, we had a running back leave early. So I kind of look at it in the same realm as those guys are. I said, hey, it's anytime those things are brought up, whether it's a junior to leave early, whether it's a coach, myself, for something else, we look at it as that's a great compliment to the program. It's what we have done on the field that gives us all these opportunities, and we want them to be out there, because if we're having success, if Desmond Ritter's doing a great job, Luke Fickell's going to get a lot of the success. He's going to get talked about, and there's going to be other opportunities. You know, so we kind of embrace them to say, hey, this is what the program is going to bring us as long as we continue to have success. We don't dwell upon them. We really don't allow them to kind of distract us from what we've got to do. But we kind of embraced the idea that with success is going to give a lot of us a lot other opportunities. But we got to make sure we focus on each other right now.
That's correct. California beaches are nice.
Luke Fickell, Cincinnati head football coach. Saturday, number 8 Cincinnati at number 9 Notre Dame. Thank you, coach.
All right, Luke. Good luck.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Luke Fickell brought to you by Eckrich Smoked Sausage, the real MVP of any tailgate. Pick it up at your local grocer. All right, look, we all know we can't wait for the Pats and the Bucks. That's the main event this weekend. And the man who made that statement in New England is next. Keyshawn J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Perfect day. Oh,
I got the perfect suit on for that.
Oh, that's why the choice of music, I'm sure. The great Bart Scott joins us on set, giving the straight talk.
You be Ralph.
Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Good morning, Bart.
What up? Keyshawn, the dude that never really had a verse. What's his name? The dude with the box, the little high top. Ronnie and the other dude. They never had their own verse.
He was just the backup
singer. Yeah, just the backup.
Because he had the eyes and he had the hands. He was just talking to him.
Let me tell you something.
Bobby,
let me tell you something, though.
Bert to be the lead singer.
All right. Let me tell you something. Come on, Eddie Kane.
He cannot be the lead singer.
Let me tell you something. Bert, not Bart.
What?
I can't take this. If I was the backup dude, I'm going to get more than you ever thought you would ever as a lead singer. It wouldn't even be.
Okay, JT. No, JT for the five heartbeats.
It wouldn't even be like that. I'm just telling you.
Still putting that same.
You'll be the lead singer. You'll be the lead singer, and everybody will be coming over there to me, man.
Bro, not with them skinny jeans on.
Stand the rain.
I never thought I would say this. Can we get back to football, please?
Why are you hating, Jay?
I'm not hating. I just want to make sure we all keep our jobs.
You know what you are, though, Jay.
I'm y'all manager. That's what I am.
You like
y'all the singers. I'm the manager.
You like
I gotta make sure
you
we keep the money right.
You Robert
Townsend. You like a kid. You like a kid.
I wrote this
Jay.
In five part harmony.
You like a kid that got a new friend over and you want to show out. So like your mom used to tell me. You tell us, you show out in front of your friends.
That's what you get
Bart in here and you want to show out. You know better than that, boy.
I know who I am. First off, you ain't going to ever call me boy on national TV and radio again. I will chop off your knees. Secondly, you don't talk to my mama, so let's stop with that, too.
You already got a tourniquet
on your leg.
And
third, can we get back to football, Max? Please, before a fight breaks out on this set.
Y'all talk a little new edition.
You already got a tourniquet on your leg.
Hey, little guy
over there.
Hey, little Crisco.
I think we have some answers.
You already got a tourniquet on that leg with them skinny jeans.
Man, that boy got stretch pants. You know
what's wrong
pants.
With my jeans?
Man, them things tight,
Max,
bro.
Max, please.
You're going to lose circulation.
You got him, Bart. Why are you defending yourself? You got you defending yourself.
Drive the show and be quiet, please.
He got you defending yourself.
Bart, your thought on these explosive comments in Seth Wickersham's book?
I tell you what, man. Chef is anybody that's plugged is Seth Wickersham. You know what I mean? You talk about even going back when he said that it was – you know, some turbulence going on. It was some turbulence going on when they said that Tom Brady could leave the Patriots, right? You know, he's plugged more than anybody. And I know that people are saying, and Bill Belichick wanted to deflect and say, hey, well, these are coming from third, fourth sources. But he's talking about emails. He's talking about Texas.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be important to see when this book comes out. You know, Bill Belichick's already deflecting, but eventually it's all when the smoke is fire. And he's been head on, you know, the last couple of years.
Max, what do you think about the book, though? Because to be honest with you, I don't think you really said much about the book the last couple of days.
Well, I haven't read it, but from what I've...
Or the excerpt.
This is what I think about the book, period. This seems like a situation to me where the more we find out, the more we're going to find out it is exactly what we all thought it was from afar. Yeah. Like, exactly, because if you've lived on the earth long enough, you don't even need to know exactly the details. You know, two people work together that long, had that much success, the whole world saying, is it more this guy or that guy? Bill Belichick, a certain way of doing things. Brady kind of grew up with that, born into that system, grew up with it. Called the GOAT, wants to know if there's another way. It's everything we thought it was.
But I wonder, like, what's in there that we not getting yet? Like, it's something in, like, one of them pages somewhere.
That's like the teaser. You know what I mean?
Well, even when you think about, you know, the reports about how Tom Brady got rid of Jimmy G and how that created a rift between ownership, because it looked like, you know, it used to be the order was Bill, Tom. And then it seemed like Tom started going above Bill's head, and it caused a rift, right? And you talk about the power play. I mean, what he got back for Jimmy G wasn't proper compensation for a team that saw him as their franchise quarterback, right? So you talk about, you know, the power struggle, and we talk about, you know, Tom Brady becoming a man. You hear about the reports of Guerrero, like he never stopped talking to him like he was a little kid. At some point, you got to put the same level of respect on my name that everybody else is calling me the GOAT. I got you 6 championships. I'm giving you a break. Yeah. And we're here with Russell Wilson, right? I'm taking less money, and this is what you're going on and get me? Like, and it's ironic that when they leave, you look how stacked and how much money Bill spent to go get all these weapons for Mac Jones, but you failed to go get those same type of weapons and surround Tom Brady with the elite
Bill
weapons.
Bill would say, because we did get a discount on Tom, but we had to pay him a lot of money still, so now we got a cheap young quarterback.
But $25 million isn't a lot.
But $25 million is a lot. When Tom was getting that $25 million.
No, because at that time, Aaron Rodgers was making $36 million. So that's $10 million in cap space.
It was a great deal, but it's still take $25 million, spread it around.
But then again, you know, and I know Bart and Jay knows, and Max knows to a degree. Just because the number says 25,
it's about accounting, because they could have gave him an extension. Where have we ever seen a franchise quarterback become a lame duck coach quarterback that's going to play out their contract? They could have gave him a 5-year extension with dummy money and prorated it and brought the cap number down if they wanted to.
Green Bay right now.
You know what?
He negotiated that, right? Because that wasn't what it was. He had two more years left on his deal.
Brady negotiated the same thing. And we act like we sitting around here, though, in all honesty, and I'm not defending Belichick and the New England Patriots. I don't give a damn. But we act like they just didn't win a championship 3 seasons ago.
What Bart is referring to, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, is the fact that Brady's not there anymore, right? And it seems to me, Bart, and I agree with this analysis of yours. You've been saying this for a while. I see it the same way. When you're having success, Brady will put up with certain things. At a certain point, you're not drafting anybody for me.
Right.
Then I'm giving up some dough to put players around me. You're not spending my money right.
Right.
At a certain point, I'm out of here. You're not giving me what I need.
But you know what? The straw that broke the camel's back was when they got destroyed at home by Tennessee, by Vrabel, who out New England.
He was already on his way out. The reports was couple years in advance that Brady was getting fed up with it. I understand, like Max was saying, 20 years, at some point, though, there's going to be some stuff there. Brady's issues started several years ago, not just the year that they lost to Tennessee in the divisional round.
Because he said he wanted to play to 45, and they didn't believe that he could. Now, nobody thought he could.
But
he proved them wrong.
They was going to give him a contract. They were going to give him a 2-year deal. He just wanted to explore other avenues and options out there in Tampa Bay was the best. Tampa Bay's option versus what we saw New England put on the field last year, it's not even a close. It's not even nothing to talk about.
But it's a Bill problem.
What do you think about this matchup, though? Who do you favor? Kid and I were talking about earlier. He thinks it's going to be a dud. I think it's going to be a blowout. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a blowout. Listen, we talk about great players are habitual line steppers. They internalize and personalize everything, right? So he's already created the separation by winning a championship. So he's proven that he can win a championship without you. Now everybody's talking about that's the next you. You know, just like what Jay-Z say, okay, to Dame. okay, you created me, create another me.
And, to quote the great Bill, Sean Carter.
And Bill's trying to act like he, you know, created him. So he's like, do it again. Right? That ain't me, and I'm gonna show you it ain't me. And you know how it is, Key. You know how it is. When players go back and they got beef. And just think what Tom Brady has done for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and how he's changed the narrative for them. They gonna go out and they're gonna try and get mac and cheese up out of there because they wanna make sure that they belabor the point that, hey, ain't no next Tom Brady coming. He's one of a kind.
See, the thing on the creation side, he created, I created, that's why to me it's gonna be a dud. Is because Bill created Tom Brady. And that it's not science in a room and all that, but he essentially groomed him to become Tom Brady. He found him. He believed in him. He did all of those things.
Yeah.
Tom Brady didn't groom and find Bill Belichick
okay.
in that defensive system.
Okay.
They know a lot as far as I, from what I would think, they know way more about Tom's strengths and weaknesses than.
Can they execute it? But can they execute it?
Because at the end of the day,
Bill, listen, Tom Brady's been within that system. He knows the weaknesses and the philosophies of that defense.
But
you don't think of that defense. Right? He know Matt Patricia. He know what Matt Patricia likes to do.
That's not the same, though.
We have to break. We have to pay some bills. But I think Bart's
point. He ain't got nothing to do. Stick around.
Look, mullet head, man.
You going to stick around? You want to stick around?
What else
you
got?
Because your point, Bart's point about the fact that if you go, you created me, create another one. Those two things are not at odds, actually. Key, when you're saying I created you, you're saying I created an atmosphere where you could become you. That doesn't mean if you create that atmosphere, you can make another Tom Brady.
Exactly.
It just meant that that was important for Tom Brady.
Matt Castle wasn't that. Jimmy G wasn't that. Hoyer the Destroyer weren't that. Jared Stidham wasn't that.
Matt Castle did go 11-5.
Yeah, and then he went somewhere else and couldn't play dead.
We're asking. I think Bart has other things to do. But hopefully,
what else he got?
I'm going to get up. That's why I got a suit on. That's why I got my new
put a suit on for the radio.
No, I just came over for during the break.
What time you got to go back?
We're
and
asking
get up?
On the Dr. Pepper call-in line.
I think now.
Say ESPN 729-3776.
Same thing you did in football. Didn't
Here's
know
the question.
Be. All right.
Outside of Patriots Bucks, what's the game of the week in the NFL? One of the games in the league's. Well, all right. Anyway.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Outside of Pats and Bucks, game of the week in the NFL. James in Texas, what's the game of the week in the NFL outside of Pats and Bucks?
The game of the week is going to be the Dallas Cowboys versus the Carolina Panthers, and not for the reason that people would think. I think it's going to be a defensive show out to find out which defense is for real. The Dallas Cowboys defense have gone against three top tier offenses and have looked pretty good. And I think they're going to look insane against the Carolina Panthers.
That's interesting from a defensive standpoint. And also for the Panthers, because the only team they've played really is the Saints. And there were extenuating circumstances with COVID on the coaching staff. That's interesting, Key, but it's a test for both defenses.
I was just about to say that it's a test for both teams, not even the defense. It's just both teams. Although the Cowboys have had good showings, and we certainly have seen them take care of business, beat up on the Eagles, take care of business in L.A. against the Chargers, take the Bucks down to the wire. But the way that this game will be played and how it plays out will tell you a lot about both teams. Mm-hmm. you know, if it's one of those dominant performance on defense, but then all of a sudden a field goal wins it in the end, or if all of a sudden Carolina's just dicing and slicing up the defense of the Cowboys, now things will look different, or vice versa. This is going to tell you about both of these teams a lot.
I know who Dak is. I'm not sure I know exactly who Sam Darnold is.
That's fair.
And Sam Darnold, without Christian McCaffrey, in this type of magnitude of a game, take away that play option, that's going to be intriguing if a game gets into a shootout, right? Just because I know what Dak brings to the table. We'll find out a ton about Sam Darnold in this game.
Who are we going to find out more about? I really think it's the Panthers. They have two wins that don't tell me a lot about them. And actually, the Saints win doesn't tell me a lot about them either. I don't know about the Panthers. I feel like after this last week, I know about Dallas. They compete with the best teams. It could go either way. And if you're not one of the best teams, they could beat up on you. I don't know about Carolina here. We're going to find out. And without Christian McCaffrey, you're right, Jay.
You'll know about both of these teams. Like we want to find out about both of them. But in terms of importance, this game is more important for the Cowboys mm-hmm. than it is the Panthers, because the Cowboys are going to win their division. They're going to win it.
Looks that way.
They're going to win the division. But they want to stay pace on getting that first round. Carolina's not getting the first round bye. They want to stay and get that first round bye or that second seed and be able to be at the top with the big dogs. You know, it's been coming and waiting. Carolina, based on 3-0, are kind of ahead of schedule, where Dallas is right on schedule and they can't afford to go backwards, because at that point in time, they will now be showing everybody exactly, here we go again.
Carolina, a little surprising so far. Dallas, okay, finally, this team showed up that we thought was going to show up these last couple of years. Lito in Manhattan on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What's up, Lito?
Lito.
Lito.
Lito, hello.
Lito. Lito.
Hey, hello.
Hey, what up?
Gentlemen, good morning. I listen to you guys every single morning. And I just wanted to just call in and just let you know that you guys, and I'm serious about this, I love listening to you guys. I love the banter. I love the conversation. It gives me life every single morning. I wish you guys were like, had that slot from 5 to 8 in the morning, because it gets me going in the morning, and I just kind of don't have that feeling when I wake up at 5 in the morning. So I just kind of wish you guys had that like 5 to 8 slot. And I just had a quick question about Marcus Stroman. Where do you guys think he's going to land next year?
Well, first of all,
so you trying to get us up at 2 in the morning?
Yeah, I already wake up early, man. I appreciate the 5 to 8, but I ain't.
3:30 in the morning.
Nah, uh-uh. They could play something from yesterday, the day before.
Run it back, man.
If anything, it has to be in the 7 slot. Give me an extra hour.
He's like, 5 to 8, we need to wake up at 3.
Do you know what happens on a Sunday night, on a Monday night? All the games almost have been great, right? And you're up till like midnight. And you know your alarm's going off at 3:30.
Or if you're watching the Dodgers, who start at 10:30 at night.
West Coast games.
We got a dream job. Oh. We talk about sports. We like to work. Let's go. We're all right.
No doubt. I'm saying.
We're all right.
I'm saying it's hard getting up at 3:30 in the morning.
It's all right, but there are other grinds out there way worse.
Yeah, no question.
Way worse.
I'm not complaining about my job. I will wake up at 1:30 in the morning to do it if I need to. But,
right. But he hopes he doesn't need to.
I'm going to have to wake up at 1:30 in the morning to do it. Eventually. So,
Greg,
executives are listening. You know what I'm talking about.
Greg in Lake Tahoe. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
All right, gentlemen. Your game of the week has to be out here on the west side. It's the best side. You got the L.A. Chargers in a new stadium. I don't know if they're going to pop their powder blues, but Justin Herbert could be an upstart, real type of MVP caliber player if he comes in and do something with the Raiders. And then on the other half, you got the Raider Mystique back on Monday night. This could be a changing of the guard out west. The Raiders go 4-0. We bout it.
Yeah. It that's going to be a good one, too. The problem with that stadium, though, is it's going to be a Raider stadium. That Chargers might have 10,000 people in that whole building.
That's what I want to ask.
In the whole building, though, Max, they might have 10,000 people.
Number one team in L.A. is the Lakers, right? Then you could argue about
Lakers. Lakers, Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Raiders.
SC, I would say.
No, Raiders, Raiders, Raiders,
okay,
USC.
So that's what I'm getting. So Raiders, right? I get the feeling this year, they opened the new stadium in Vegas, and the Rams and Chargers are ascending with exciting, especially Herbert, the quarterback. Do you get the feeling like that is starting to come closer now?
Let me go back again. Lakers.
Yep.
Dodgers.
Clearly.
Raiders and Rams are probably tied right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Tied right now. Probably 50-50 split.
For the first time ever, I feel like people are starting to care about the Chargers in L.A. I have not got that sense yet.
They're still behind USC football.
No doubt.
So they like they're like in the fifth, sixth slot.
No doubt. But I'm saying, do you sense that they're rising?
Not really.
I feel like they
are. You know what I think it is? I think it's the San Diego fan base starting to gravitate and accept the fact that they're never coming back.
They're not going back.
The season's here. Fans are in the stands. It's open. They're never coming back.
Best games outside of New England, including one Super Bowl champion quarterback trying to avoid something he's never done in his career. Next, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.